to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Lap Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode number 87 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. I hope everyone had a great weekend. I got to tell you, it has been a jammed pack three weekends here in the household here. Sister's wedding, first weekend of the month. MIS the weekend after that. This past weekend was the Woodward Dream Cruise. This weekend should be low-key, taking the wife on a date Friday night. Haven't taken her out in a while. It's been NASCAR nonstop over the last 2 months. She'll tell you since February, but I'll be more realistic and say it's the last 2 months. This weekend, low-key, kicking it back a little bit. And then it is off to Darlington with the PETM podcast. I cannot wait for that. It has been a packed, fun August, let me tell you. So this weekend, like I mentioned, was the Woodward Dream Cruise. I put some video and pictures up on the Twitter of some of these incredible classic cars. Literally, nothing does it justice. It's like trying to get someone to a race for the first time, The speed of the cars, you can't really see it and appreciate it until you're up close and in person with it. And that's the same to be said about the Woodward Dream Cruise. Four lanes, north and south, for miles on miles with literally a million people. They start coming out. The Dream Cruise itself is Saturday. But literally, the week leading up, there's people setting up pop-up tents and camping out on the sidewalks, just watching cars, and it just gets more and more packed each day leading up to Saturday. To the actual cruise itself that's televised locally, I think that starts like at 7 or so, but it's just incredible, you know. My personal favorites are the Bel Airs and the Impalas from the 50s. There's just a ton of Camaros, Mustangs, Vets, tons of specialty cars, the Batmobile, Shaggin' Wagons, Monkey Mobile, you name it, it's out there. And it's just incredible seeing all these people watching cars go up and down Woodward Avenue. We had some friends over Friday, Saturday night. I have been giving the grill an incredible workout this summer. This weekend, literally had that thing cranked up for hours Friday, Saturday night, which was awesome. And I was so excited about this. We've had this lilac tree in the backyard on the side of the patio, and I have wanted to put this thing out of its misery since we moved into the house. And Lindsay would not let me do it. But Friday night, she was like, you know what? I think you should take down the lilac tree. Now, I had no intentions of waking up at the ass crack of dawn on Saturday to take a tree down, but I was not letting her change her mind. I was up. That thing was down by noon and to the curb. And then had some more friends, like I said, over Saturday night, and I put the TV outside. I've got a Black Friday TV that literally just sits in my office so that if we got friends over or we decide we're going to hang out outside, I can literally have the cable out there and hooked up, ready to go in about 60 seconds, and decide to mount it to the fence because now there's no lilac tree there. I was like a kid in a candy store Saturday, playing cornhole, grilling, and watching the Bristol Night Race outside. I could not have been any happier. So weekend was good. Hope yours was as well. Enough about that. What is on today's show? Well, I got a little bit of a different guest coming on here tonight, shortly. Liam DeChick, intern at Go Fast Racing, will be on to talk about what it's like to be an intern for a race team and talk some racing. Thought that'd be cool. Got to talking with Liam last couple weeks on Twitter and thought, hey, why not? Let's get a completely different perspective that's never been on the show before. So I think that'll be fun. And he's going to stick around and talk this past weekend at Bristol. All three series running some night races, trucks, Xfinity Cup. We had some great, great racing at Bristol. Usual social media shout outs. Aaron will be on later. Your lucky dog lap down picks as well. And I've got a couple rants that both involve Kyle Busch. Kyle Busch had a busy weekend this past weekend, and I've got some things to say. All positive. All positive. I'm not hating. It is all positive. So that said, let's get this thing going. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line, making his Lap Traffic debut. He is an intern with Go Fast Racing, Mr. Liam DeChick. Liam, welcome to the show, man. How's it going?
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. It's going well, and thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. So tell everyone a little bit about yourself, how you got into NASCAR, all that good stuff.
All right. Well, I am 21 years old. I just graduated this May from Alfred State College.
Congrats.
Which is a small – thank you. Thank you. That is a small state school in the southern tier of New York State. And at that college, they have one of the best automotive programs in the state. And so I got my degree in automotive technology. And the real reason I went there was to get my degree in motorsports technology, because I've always wanted to be a part of the NASCAR world and work in NASCAR. And that all started when I was in, I was in third grade, 2006, the movie Cars came out.
You just made me feel really old, let me tell you.
I'm sorry that I made you feel old.
Third grade, 2006, and the movie Cars. Wow.
Mm-hmm. And I was...
2006, I was 28, 29, 27, something like that. Wow. All right.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I had been up until that point, I had been a construction truck guy. You know, I was that kid that always was staring out the window and following the construction guys around. But the movie Cars changed everything. I know it's a little cheesy, but it really it rocked my world. I loved that movie. I would watch it nonstop. I collected all the merchandise and toys. And not long after that, you know, I started watching NASCAR on TV. I watched Jimmy Johnson win his first championship. And in the beginning of 2007 at Daytona, I had some friends over to my house, and we had a Daytona 500 party. So. And from then on, I was hooked. I was hooked on the sport.
That's a cool story. And that was a great Daytona 500 to watch because, you know, as much as I try to stay objective, and I think I do a pretty good job of that, I don't hide the fact I'm a Kevin Harvick guy. So that was a great Daytona.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah. That was very cool. And Clint Bowyer finished across the finish line on his roof. And, yes. You know, that was pretty exciting to me as, at the age that I was, and, you know, it was a blast. And, but yeah, and then the next year I went to my first race, and, you know, anyone who's never been to a race, you know, you've got to be there. And once you feel those engines rumble for the first time, I think it hooks almost anybody. So
where was your first race?
My first race was Pocono in 2008.
Awesome.
Yep. And awesome. So the car of tomorrow, you know, for some people is kind of the infamous dark time. Yeah. But for me, that was kind of like the big new thing when I first started getting
Absolutely.
Into the sport.
Absolutely. That splitter. Oh, I have nightmares about those braces still.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's very cool. So what's... what's the future look like? Masters, back to school. What's the goal there?
So I have my two associate's degrees in automotive and motorsports technology.
Cool.
I could see myself going back to school, maybe in the engineering aspect at some point, depending on how things shake out. But I moved down here to Charlotte, North Carolina, just over a month ago, actually, with my fiance.
Awesome.
And I've been getting the kind of hands-on experience way more than I expected.
Sure.
And so, if things keep going along this path, I'll probably probably stay where I am and hopefully find a job, you know, by next year. But if things do not work out in that way, then yeah, I could see myself going back to school and getting a degree in, you know, motorsports engineering or something along those lines.
Cool. So you're with Go Fast now. How did you, as an intern, how did that come to play?
Well, that has all been a whirlwind because I'm still very new there, new to the area, but, you know, I've had great people behind me from school and my family, that pushed me once I got down here, you know, really, really build up the resume, you know, put on some nice clothes and start cold calling. And that's what I did. I stopped at a few teams and, you know, handed out some resumes and business cards. And, you know, it's pretty tight in some of those big teams. Sure. Sometimes there's the only person that you can even talk to is the gift shop salesperson. And sometimes they don't know anything about the actual shop functions, and so it's kind of a dead end. But I walked right up to Go Fast Racing, and there's a sign on the door that says "See the office before you enter the shop." So I actually opened the wrong door and saw Matt DiBenedetto's car sitting there, and you know, my heart started racing, and I'm like, "Oh my gosh, you know, there's no glass or anything. The car is right there." but I opened the door to the office, and Ryan Ellis and Mason St. Hilaire were in there. And Mason is the general manager and owner of Go Fast Racing. And he greeted me and took my resume, and he offered me the opportunity to come into the shop, and basically he asked me what I wanted to learn, and I told him I want to learn everything. In college, they said that, you know, if you're going to work in NASCAR, you need a special ability. You need to focus on shocks or tires or fabrication, and I learned all of those things in college, but nothing really stuck out to me. And so I told him I just want to learn everything about NASCAR cars. And so he invited me into the shop and gave me some shop uniforms and introduced me to the guys. And on my first day, I got to the shop on Monday morning, and we had the car. It was the Watkins Glen car, I believe, which is funny because I was, you know, born and raised in Syracuse, New York, which is about an hour and a half from Watkins Glen. Yeah. I thought I was going to be sweeping the floors because I've worked at a dealership before, and you know, they had me cleaning the floors, cleaning the drains, you know, scrubbing things on my hands and knees. And so I fully expected to be doing that, you know, at an ARCA team or a truck team to get my start. And sure. I came in there on Monday morning, and they handed me the wrenches that I needed, and we started tearing down the Watkins Glen car.
Wow.
And I couldn't believe it. And it's, you know, I felt like I was shot right out of a cannon, and, I've been learning new things every day. The guys there are absolutely incredible. They've been more than welcoming to me. You know, they see my passion for the sport, and they're willing to teach me everything they know. You know, I've done setup at this point, helped them set up the car, load the car onto the hauler. I've done fabrication, and you know, I've seen all the parts of the shop already, and I've only been there for just over 2 weeks. And that's just not something that you can do at one of the larger teams.
Yeah, no, dude, that's an incredible story that, you know, shows your perseverance to, you know, I want in this sport. And yeah, I could wait online and try to find a job posting on Indeed or whatever the job board sites are. But you cold called and walked in. And like you said, you know, the You know, I'm guessing HMS was the gift shop lady and, you know, go fast, a smaller team. You know, you were able to walk right in there impromptu and boom, here you are. That is that's awesome, man. I could not be happier for you. That is fantastic. And I hope everything is just on the upward trend for you with a story like that. That's fantastic.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So speaking of GoFast, you mentioned it's a little bit smaller group. I've gotten to know some of the guys from GoFast. They've been on the show a few times. It is a smaller shop. I remember, you know, I was talking to Matt at Michigan a couple weeks ago. He said they're up to 16. You might be the 16th guy now. So talk about that dynamic a little bit. You know, like you said, you're hands on, you know, and if you were at a larger mm-hmm. team with the intern title, you know, you probably would be doing what you did at that dealership. So it sounds like they made you feel like family from day one, which is awesome.
Yeah, they did. And, you know, the dynamic is very interesting. It's not what you would see when you go to, let's say, Penske, who has they have an incredible catwalk if you've ever been there, and you can look down and see all the cars getting worked on, and you know, the floors are clean and the people are clean, and you know, there are some similarities and differences. We keep a very clean shop as well. You know, we make sure we're presentable, and we take a tremendous amount of pride in what we do there. But there's no catwalk or anything. It sure is a smaller shop.
Yeah.
And I would say probably the biggest difference between GoFast and maybe one of the larger shops is that you're not departmentalized. So
sure,
each person has, you know, they may have a job title, but they are going to be doing the work of maybe four or five people
sure
at a bigger team.
Yeah, you might have you have your tire department at HMS, Penske, whatever it may be. You've got your fab department there with you guys. You might have a guy that specializes in that, but everyone's getting their hands dirty in all aspects of it.
Yeah, for sure. And that's nice for a lot of reasons, because you know, as someone like me who you know, I have a basic understanding of race cars, but as far as these cup cars work, there's a lot I don't know. I can go to any person, whether it be a fab guy or the engine guy or a components guy, and they will, they can give me advice on anything that I'm working on. And that's something really special that, that's made me feel welcome there. And also it's just pretty cool. I mean, you know, there's 15 guys at that shop, employees at that shop, and they all work their butts off, and you know, they're showing me what they do, so hopefully I can do as good a job as they do in the near future.
That's awesome. So you've only been there a couple weeks. Will part of your job be going to the races? How's that shaping out? Do you know what your at-track involvement will be?
Going to the races, that has always been a huge goal of mine. You know, my first goal was to see a car that I touched on TV. You know, that to me was my first goal.
And that'd be really cool.
And that happened at Michigan. I helped set up that Michigan car, you know, even a small help, but I touched that car. So that is off the checklist. But going to the track is my next goal. A few of the guys there have actually, they've, you know, kind of taken an interest in me, and they've helped me get a few other opportunities on the side. So one of those opportunities being doing some work with BJ McLeod's Xfinity team at the shop there after hours. But then the most recent development is I have just made a connection with the 33 and 34 truck teams the Raum Brothers Racing.
Julius Curry.
And
yes, he was on the show a couple weeks ago, and good guy, real good guy.
Yeah, and so I just went to the shop a few days ago, and they are taking me to Canada this weekend for the truck race.
Awesome.
So I will get my first at-track experience there, and they're going to teach me everything there is to know, because there are about four or five guys that are going to be at the track that are race mechanics for the two trucks.
Yep.
So we're gonna be working nonstop, but that's the kind of experience that I need to come back to the 32 team and say, hey, I was at the track and I learned this and this, and then I go, you know, to the next race, to Vegas, and I learned this and this, and hopefully by the end of the season I will have beefed up my resume even more and my knowledge of the sport at track, while I'm also during the week doing my thing at Go Fast. So they've really helped me get these opportunities, and I'm just a sponge right now, absorbing all of the information that I can.
That is fantastic. That is so cool. I can't wait to keep up with you and see how that progresses for you. What do you say we talk a little racing from this weekend? Let's get your take this past weekend at Bristol and your take on the season so far. All right, Liam, this past weekend we had all three series at the track at Bristol, three night races, and just had some incredible on track racing. Bristol might be back, baby. let's talk the trucks first. John Hunter Nemechek winning stages one and two, dominating even into stage three. Johnny Sauter picks up his fifth win. And in order for anybody to have made the playoffs that wasn't already in the top eight, they would have had to win. Somebody ninth on out would have needed to win. That did not happen. But what did happen was Johnny Sauter, who started the season winning four of the first eight races, went on a little bit of a quiet spell there during the mid part of the season, reminded the field that if you want this championship, you got to go through him. Picked up his fifth win of the season after eight winless races. What's your take on the truck race from Bristol?
I thought it was very thrilling. I think we have been blessed with some incredible truck racing the past couple of weeks. My fiance and I have been watching from home, and a lot of times she'll take a nap during the race. But she was up, like, you know, edge of her seat watching this one. I just like the way that they're racing at Bristol right now. I did notice something interesting was that after John Hunter Nemechek had his issues, Stuart Friesen was right there.
And
I think he's one of those drivers, and they are one of those teams that have been so close so many times this year, and they've faced a lot of issues, especially towards the end of races when they're running well. So I think a second place is solid for them. But they remind me almost of like what Chase Elliott and his team have been experiencing up until Watkins Glen. I mean, they've been running so well, but just not quite finishing the deal. And I would not be surprised if he ends up in victory lane before the end of the year. And they're certainly building some momentum, but of course, congrats to Johnny Sauter and the 21 team, because they're clearly showing that they're the team to beat this year.
Absolutely. Well, it's funny you mentioned that with Friesen and kind of the season that he's had. Five stage wins, not bad when you're going out there competing against the likes of Kyle Busch on a somewhat consistent basis, Johnny Sauter, and Brett Moffitt, who has come out of nowhere. I talked to him a couple of weeks ago. I called him the Cinderella story of the truck season.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I get what you're saying with that team. Like, they're really close, and maybe they're going to dial it in. If not, next year could be a tear for that 52 team as well. The trucks, though, with the guys nine on out, I want to hit on this just because I find it a little interesting. You had Myatt Snyder, Coughlin, Sargent, Gilliland, all on the outside looking in, needing a win. And to be honest, I was a little disappointed in some of the finishes from these guys that needed a win. Snyder finished 29th, Coughlin 19th, Sargent 11th. Gilliland made the best shot at it, finishing 5th. I was a little surprised with those guys in how they finished the race.
Yeah, I mean, Bristol can be a tough place. You know, it's very easy to go a lap down at Bristol, and I feel like that can create a lot of issues for the teams, especially if you don't, you know, start off the weekend right. If you don't unload and you're not fast right off the bat, then you may have trouble in qualifying, and then you start further back in the field. And if you're starting in the back half of the field, you're going to be in danger of going a lap down right away. And that can just be a recipe for disaster, especially with the truck races being as short as they are. It doesn't give you a lot of time to make your truck right and march to the front.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that, because it was actually a pretty clean truck race, considering it was the last race before the playoffs. Short track truck racing can get a little out of control sometimes, as we've seen at Bristol and Martinsville. Only 5 cautions, two of which stage break cautions. So like you said, you know, it's easy to go a lap down, and it's even easier to go a lap down and more laps down when you don't have a lot of cautions to get lined back up and get some lucky dogs and all that.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
John Hunter Nemechek, Ben Rhodes, they traded paint early and often in stage one. And speaking of John Hunter Nemechek, he has been on a tear as of late. His last 4 truck races, he's got 4 top sevens, Chicago 7th, Kentucky 5th, Eldora 7th, Michigan and Bristol, third place finishes. Dominated the first half of the race at Bristol, winning both stages. Just couldn't hold off Sauter. Sauter makes the pass, 4 to go. And he cruises to his 5th win. John Hunter's really come alive in the truck series as of late in the summer part of the truck series.
Yeah, it's definitely good to see him running up front. I don't know a ton about their team personally. I know it's small, and I know he fights really hard for every position. So it's certainly good to see them running up front, and, you know, hopefully he can get maybe something full time next year, possibly Xfinity or something, and maybe get him a full season and something like that. And maybe we can see, you know, what he could put together with an entire year, maybe get some wins. But he is certainly running well, and I'm sure they're happy with that.
Absolutely. That said, standings are reset. The 15 bonus points for leading the standings has propelled Sauter to a 15-point lead over Moffitt in second, Gregson in third with 22, Rhodes in fourth with 14, Friesen in fifth with 12, Enfinger in sixth with 11, Haley in seventh with 9, and Matt Crafton, who is thankful someone inside the top 8 won that Bristol race, wraps out the 8 guys racing for the championship. Truck Series, it's really kind of, you know, I always want more with the truck series in terms of the number of races that we get. And I think that's because of the fact we start the season with 3 truck races in a row, 2 off weeks. Then we run Martinsville, and then they've got 5 off weeks. So they're top heavy with off weeks, and they're kind of bottom heavy with off weeks. The first 11 weeks of the year, they've only got 4 races, and the trucks have 6 off weeks throughout the playoffs. They kick off the round of 8 this weekend at Canadian Tire Motorsports Park. They're off 2 weeks. They hit up Las Vegas, and they wrap up round 1 at Talladega right when the Cup guys are wrapping up round 2. It'll be interesting to see who can escape the cutoff race at Talladega in the trucks. These guys will all be looking to win early to know that they can cross off Talladega as being something they got to worry about. What's your take on the truck playoffs, the scheduling, all that good stuff there, sir?
Well, I have been at a truck shop for 2 days now, so that makes me the expert on the truck
lay
schedule.
It on me. Lay it on me.
No, but I really have what I've learned in these two afternoons, really, that I've spent at the 33 team. Is, you know, a lot of these truck teams are very, very small with a very low number of employees. And when you see what goes into, you know, coming back from a race weekend, tearing everything apart, and then preparing for, the next race, if there were a truck race, you know, 36 weekends out of the year, I honestly think you would see the number of trucks in the field go down. Really, anybody besides the main few truck teams that have bigger shops and more employees, I don't think they would be able physically to put these trucks together fast enough.
Absolutely.
With the amount of people and employees that the budget allows for. There's a lot of work that goes into it, as everyone knows. But even things, you know, like transporting a car and a team to Las Vegas from North Carolina.
It's not cheap.
It is not cheap. And it takes up a lot of time, money, effort, on all ends. And it's just the kind of money, that a lot of these truck series teams do not have. So, I agree though that I would love to see more truck races on the schedule because, you show a non-NASCAR fan a truck race, they're going to be like, "Wow, that was thrilling!" Because they fight for every spot and they're fighting for their rides every week.
Absolutely, I show more people truck races than I do cup races.
Mm-hmm.
So that said, don't forget, Lap Traffic Nation, we only lose two with the elimination rounds in the truck series, 8, 6, and 4. That said, I'll be making some picks for the rounds as they come out. I asked you guys, Lap Traffic Nation, who you thought would be the first two out as some early predictions. Matt at MG Miller 17 thinks Enfinger and Crafton are out. I can see Haley having a few good runs and think the top five are the clear step above. Crafton struggled all year, and while I like Enfinger, I think it will be Haley. Mr. Andrew Cancian at Cancian says, I'm going to say Ben Rhodes and Justin Haley are out. I don't expect any big surprises early, but you never know. And Brett at B-Wayne 8589 thinks Crafton and Rhodes don't make the cut. Jenna at JM Adams 1012. Crafton just hasn't shown speed to be a real threat this year. I think Enfinger can have some good runs, but I think the ones with the wins and the playoff points will still prevail. So I believe the teammates of Crafton and Enfinger will be the first ones out. Liam, what's your thoughts? I'm putting you on the spot. Who are the two guys that don't make it to the next round in the truck series?
Oh man, oh man. Yeah, that is certainly a tough call to make because, you know, any one bad thing could happen and you could become one of the bottom two.
Yes.
Let me think. I think I'm going to say, maybe Ben Rhodes, And Grant Enfinger. That's what I think.
I'm going with Haley and Friesen are the two guys that don't make it. I agree with you that I think he's on the brink, but I think Crafton is going. He's shown a little speed the last couple weeks, and I don't think Crafton is going to be real happy and to get knocked out, being the veteran that he is in the first round. So I think we see a little bit out of him towards the bottom of the playoff ring there, if you will. 11 playoff points, 9-3. I think Crafton's got the capability to overcome some of that a little bit. So I think he makes it to the next round, but I don't think he makes it past that. But I will get to that towards the next stage break there. Trucks, Sunday afternoon, Canadian Tire Motorsports Park. I cannot wait for that. Sir, let's swing over to the Xfinity Series, where it was the Kyle Larson show this weekend for the Xfinity Series. Larson put on a clinic out there, winning both stages and the race, keeping the rest of the field happy, probably, because Christopher Bell did not get the win and wasn't able to add to his already commanding playoff point lead. What'd you think of the Xfinity race?
I also thought that was very entertaining. We saw a lot of passing, you know, just the kind of racing that, that you would traditionally expect coming to Bristol. So, you know, I thought it was a good race, and my fiance was very happy because she's a huge Kyle Larson fan, and so that was the outcome that she always looks for.
Awesome. Tough break for Kyle Busch during the Xfinity race. Odds on favorite to potentially go out there and win both the Xfinity and Cup race. He loves Bristol in all three series, and I've got a lot more on Kyle Busch later in the show. But to have that type of tire issue when you're leading the race, just hate to see that and ends up wrecking out of the race. Kyle Busch, he had a very eventful weekend this weekend.
Yeah, and for all the reasons that are not usually eventful for him, usually he ends up in victory lane at Bristol.
Yes. But we got the other Busch brother there, which we'll get to that here in a few minutes. how about that overtime? Larson clears Allgaier, who was going for his second win in a row, and was actually eventually passed by Christopher Bell on the last lap, who was definitely making a charge for Kyle Larson there. And had we gotten another overtime, I don't know. I think Bell might have had something for Larson.
Yeah, I agree. You know, he's incredibly talented, and he's beaten some of the best in the sport. He shows he knows what to do on restarts. And, you know, if he had had a shot, you know, side by side with Larson, we might have had a different winner at Bristol.
Absolutely. Again, to mirror the trucks, only 11 guys finished on the lead lap on this one as well. Some pretty good finishes by the Xfinity regulars. Bell second, Allgaier third, who might be the favorite heading into the playoffs. Cole Custer got his 18th top 10 on the season, which there's only been 22 races. So he's going really strong, just still winless, kind of like freezing, like you mentioned in the truck series. Mm-hmm. Like they're there, but just can't seem to close one out. I'd say he'd be up there in playoff conversation. And while he will probably make the playoffs, he's only got one playoff point, which is going to set him back a little bit unless he can pull off a win or two early in the playoffs. Sadler also picked up his 18th top 10 on the season, continuing his consistency of good finishes, but again, lack of being able to close it out there. Quick shout out to Jeremy Clements. While he finished two laps down, top 15 for that team, which is awesome. We've got four races to go in the Xfinity Series before the playoffs. We got Road America this weekend, Darlington, Indy, and Las Vegas. I think Road America this weekend is going to be a lot of fun to watch. You're going to have guys like Sadler, Custer, Hemric still racing for the first win of 2018. And then you're going to have guys like Annette, Sieg, Clements, who know this could be their last shot at winning a race and playing spoiler. What are you looking forward to this weekend at Road America?
I'm looking forward to just seeing, you know, kind of continuing to see, I guess, some of these guys show their strength on road courses and maybe see some of the guys struggle. You know, it's a long stretch of left and right hand turns for these guys, you know, more than any other NASCAR series. The Xfinity series has a lot of road course races, and this close to the playoffs, you know, a lot can happen. So I'm really looking forward to seeing if anything, you know, maybe we get a surprise winner. You know, it's never out of the question, especially at Road America. And of course, I'll be cheering on Ryan Ellis, who will be racing.
Absolutely. You know. I was going to ask you about that. So do you have any work on his car that they're taking out there?
I have touched his car. I believe I detail cleaned it and
nice.
And painted some of the chassis. So nothing crazy, but I did have hands on it. So hopefully I gave him some good luck.
Absolutely. And can't go without mentioning that Bill Elliott coming out of retirement and is going to be strapping in again this weekend at Road America. That would be just incredible if he's able. There's obviously not a lot of high expectation, but if he's out there and able to go have a good time and put on a good show for the fans, that's going to be awesome.
Oh yeah, I'm sure he'll have a blast.
Absolutely. All right, let's move on over to the feature, the Cup Series this weekend. Things got spread out in the stages. Ryan Blaney, stage one, Joey Logano, stage two, and Kurt Busch, who wasn't on anybody's radar in the Lap Traffic Fantasy League, so maybe a sleeper there gets the checkered flag. And what a race to cap off a great weekend of racing at Bristol. There was drama, great racing, and some hell of a good finishes there. Talk to me about the Cup race. What'd you think?
Oh, wow. I have a lot of thoughts on the Cup race. You know, it was, again, just like the other two series, it was entertaining. This was one of the more exciting Cup races we've seen, you know, at Bristol, even in recent history. You know, they were messing around, changing the track, you know, high line, low line, using the PJ1. And I think they might have found something that works there. You know, I think I talked to some of my friends and they all seemed happy with the race as far as action goes on the track. Obviously, and I know you're going to touch on Kyle Busch in a minute or two here, but that early incident took out a lot of people that I think would have been interesting to watch during the course of the race. So that was certainly unfortunate. And so, you know, it's never good.
No, but, yep, I'm with you. I wasn't expecting that type of a wreck early on like that. But yeah, no, there were definitely some guys that had some unfortunate finishing results because of that. And there were some guys that I expected to have a little bit of a better run too. Suarez, for example, thought he would have had a better finish than 18th. Kozlowski was my pick for the week. He finished 16th. But then there were some guys, like you mentioned, that were able to capitalize. Casey Kane got a top 15. Bain finishes 11th. Yeah, that was huge for them, you know. And I think what a lot of people kind of get wrapped up in is, you know, you're used to a driver finishing at a certain level. And a top household name like Casey Kane, for example, did that for a long time. And yes, his capability is still there and all that. But when you change teams and you move to, you know, a little bit of a lower caliber team, you know, you can only drive so hard with the equipment that you're given and the capabilities that the team has. And for Casey Kane to go out to Bristol and get a top 15 in a season in which he struggled, that's fantastic for that race team.
Yeah, and it does a lot for the people back at the shop too. You know, it really when we have a strong finish, it really boosts morale and you know, shows you that, hey, we did something right here.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And that really goes a long way.
Yeah.
And I was also really excited about Kurt Busch. You know, he's been a favorite in my family for quite a long time. We were talking earlier about how my first race was Pocono in 2008. He was the first driver I met there.
Awesome.
And you know, there's been maybe even the past 3 years, there's been talk about, will he retire this year? You know, he's one of the guys in the field that's been racing the longest. And you know, I follow the races on a Facebook group, and one of the things that I said was, you know, Kurt Busch deserves a ride next year, no matter where it is, whether he stays at Haas, whether he goes to another team. But I think he still is one of the most talented people out there. He's got a lot of fight in him, and he's fairly consistent. I really think that he showed at Bristol, you know, it was no fluke. He outdrove everyone at the end. And I think, I think, for the good of the sport and for him, if he's willing to do it, I think he should stay in the sport as long as he can, because, you know, he's fun to watch, and you know, not the typical guy that you see win every week, but I think he's got a lot more in him.
Absolutely. Well, you know, you mentioned the consistency aspect of it. You know, he's fourth in the standings with just 7 playoff points. You know, he up until the win this past week, he only had 2 stage wins all season, and to be up there in the point standings from that regard, with guys going out there getting all of these wins, that just shows the consistency, like you said, that he's had this year, that kind of has gone under the radar a little bit, because, you know, it's not stage wins and it's not race wins. So, you know, that third place in stage 1 and that fourth place in stage 2 is very easily overlooked.
Yeah, for sure.
Speaking of Bushes, let's get over to Kyle Busch here. Said, what an emotional weekend for Kyle Busch, having another issue early in the Cup race, going up the track, hitting the wall, spinning in front of the field, almost going through three laps down, was able to drive back to the lead with some help of some cautions. Like I said, went from almost three laps down to P3 by the final stage of the race. Had some unpopular moves, yes, by getting into Martin Truex Jr. But hey, it's short track racing, that happens. Tensions heat up, and you know, by no means, and he even admitted it wasn't on purpose. I don't think Martin Truex Jr. thinks it was on purpose. It was crappy that it happened. But with how the Xfinity race ended up for Busch, definitely an emotional ride Saturday night with the laps down, backup racing for it, take some guys out. And the crazy thing is, that wasn't the end of his emotional ride Saturday night. Himself ends up spinning again just before the end of the race. And I'd be hard pressed to say there isn't anyone else on the track that could have done any more with the type of car that he had by the end of the race. You know, sure, he's in the good team. The team's got the money, the Joe Gibbs equipment. I get that. But you can't take away the heart and tenacity of this guy to not only get involved in an early spin and some laps down, but to most guys probably would have just gone out there and logged laps at that point. But he keeps going on and on, no matter what shape or how many laps down he is on the track.
Yeah, and that's something that it took me a long time to admit, but it's a very admirable trait that Kyle Busch has, is that he never, you know, he never gives up. And I think what he did on Saturday night, I think it proved, you know, what a talented driver he is. And yes, you could make the argument that he had an aero advantage, missing his rear bumper, but you know, aside, he was involved in a wreck, and so other things can get damaged in the wreck. And you know, you don't see drivers make up that many laps, and it is a short track. You know, he was one of the fastest guys all night long.
Yep.
He fought really hard, had a disappointing end to that March. You know, it's hot, it's loud there, and I'm sure he was ready to go home. And yes. You know, of course, as we know, his troubles didn't even end on the track.
No.
So you know, I'm sure this is a weekend he'll want to forget, but it's one that I think the fans won't forget anytime soon, because, you know, like him or not, he yet again proved that he is one of the most talented drivers of this era of the sport.
Absolutely. Over to his Kyle's brother, Kurt, drove to his first victory since Daytona 2017. And this was amongst rumors circulating that he's probably going to be out, by the sounds of it, at Stewart Haas Racing. Goes on, shows the team that they can focus, go out there, win a race. Kurt capping off a strong day for Stewart Haas, three of the four drivers in the top 10, continuing the dominance of SHR in 2018. Kurt able to do something not many were able to do, which is make the inside lane work on a restart, being able to take the lead away from teammate Clint Bowyer on that last restart. This win gives Kurt his 15th top 10 of the season through 24 races, which is good, but struggled to crack the top five this year, this being only his fourth top five all year. But this was his 30th career win, which is awesome, and definitely, as we mentioned, an emotional weekend for the Busch brothers.
Yeah, bookends yeah, of
absolutely,
emotions.
Absolutely. Just two races remain in the regular season for the Cup guys, Darlington and Indy. It is definitely go time. Harvick closed the gap a little bit on points leader Kyle Busch, just 43 points out. But the way things look right now, Kyle looks like he's going to be racking up the extra 15 playoff points. Right now, Busch with 35. He would get 15, giving him 50. And Harvick in second would get 10 with his 40 right now, would also give him 50. So it's possible Busch and Harvick could go into the playoffs tied, which would just make this an even more fun playoffs to watch with those guys going out there.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, it's... I've been thinking that they are kind of the lead two for the past few weeks now, and I don't want to take anything away from Martin Truex Jr. and the 78 guys. I know they've struggled a little bit, but you know, and I don't want to take anything away from the big three either, which is, you know, I think drawing fans in, which is awesome. But,
absolutely.
You can't ignore the fact that while the 78 team has struggled, the 18 and the 4 have they have just proven themselves even stronger and continue to go out there and just put on a dominant show week in, week out. So I think they have a little bit of an advantage at this point.
Absolutely. I couldn't disagree with you more. Liam, this has been a ton of fun. I appreciate you coming on the show. Why don't you tell everyone where they can follow you at on social media and the team?
You can follow me at DECHICK14. That's DECHICK14. And you can follow Go Fast Racing on Twitter at Go Fast FAS Racing 32. You can also follow, you can like their Facebook page for more content. They're constantly updating updating the Twitter and Facebook. So
yes,
that's a great way to connect with them.
They are big, and I believe they've got a unveiling of a new paint scheme coming up as well this week, too, which is pretty exciting.
Yep, that should be unveiled tomorrow. Yes. I've seen a little bit of it, and I'm pretty excited to see the rest.
Very cool. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, big thanks to Liam from Go Fast Racing for coming on the show tonight. It was fun, and keep in touch. We'll do it again.
Yeah, I'll definitely keep in touch, and thanks again for having me. You know, it was a pleasure, and I'm glad I was able to share my story. So thank you.
Awesome. Anytime. We'll talk to you soon. Well, that was a lot of fun talking with Liam there. Hope you guys enjoyed that little different interview and perspective there, talking to an intern with the team. That was a lot of fun. Best of luck to Liam. That said, it's the last off week for the Cup guys. Next race feels like mere days away. Sunday night in Darlington. I will be there. PETM will be there. Cancian will be there. Will you be there? I can't wait to cross this race off the bucket list. It's going to be so much fun. Can't wait. Stay tuned for more on this next week because I know it's about to get crazy. That said, time for some social media. Everyone, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at LapTrafficPC. Make sure you're downloading the show on iTunes, Podbean, Spreaker, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn Radio, Blueberry, Acast. It's out there. You can find it. Giveaway is rolling along at 3,500 followers. Giving away a 124 diecast signed by Richard Childress. It's a diecast commemorating the RCR Museum. And you'll get a Lap Traffic t-shirt. Almost to 3,100 followers. So about 400 more to go. So keep spreading the word. And thank you for all of the retweets. Over to some new follower shout outs. Anthony at Anthony88 fan from Texas and a big fan of Dale Jr. and Alex Bowman. Jessica at Jess82109 from Georgia, diehard Larson fan. Zach at ZNBIRTSCH. I can't pronounce that one. I'm sorry. From North Carolina, who is an alum of Appalachian State, which, Zach, I got to say, I am still a little upset over 2007. Hashtag never forget, 3432. Megatron at Brad K. Penske fan from New York, repping the Blue Deuce. And Greg at Full Rut from Indiana and a member of Harvick Nation. Welcome to the show, guys. Don't forget, if you want some stickers and a koozie, check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Fill out the contact page, and I will get one out to you. What do you say we get to a little weather with everyone's favorite weatherman, Mr. Aaron Studwell? All right, Lap Traffic Nation, back as always. You can follow him on Twitter at RaceAweather. Check out the website, raceaweather.net. The wonderful Mr. Aaron Studwell. Sir, good evening.
Good evening, sir. How are you?
I am awesome. How are things? Happy belated birthday, by the way.
Thank you, sir. You are awesome. Had a very good birthday. We had dinner with Eileen and Alex up in College Station. We had Alex moved into Texas A&M on Sunday, so we just spent an extra day up there. Nice to have a day together for the two of us, and then also I had dinner with him and got back last night. Awesome. And I go back into the work routine tomorrow.
Awesome. So this was freshman year, right?
Yeah.
So how were the emotions dropping them off?
Oh, dropping off, if it was only that easy, it was getting him moved in. And then his mom and him were, his mom's real, because I want to put this here and put that there. And we're all like, yeah, go ahead. But I don't think there were any tears. I think if one of the little thing is him not being too far away.
Sure.
Does help.
Yep.
But he's ready to go. He
awesome.
Went out with friends and texted him earlier where I'm in a fantasy draft right now where it's a slow draft and you have 6 hours to make a pick. And it's just, we started the other day. So he and I are going back and forth and it's like, oh yeah, I'm downstairs playing pool now. I'm like, okay, very cool.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, yeah, it's like a little mini vacation until the classes start up and all that good stuff. And then it's,
which would be Monday. Yes.
Monday. Wow. Yeah. It seems like, up here in Michigan, it's always kind of bounced back and forth, whether you started before Labor Day or after Labor Day. And it seems more and more are trending both to get paired up with the college schedule a little bit and starting a little bit earlier now.
Yeah, University of Houston actually started yesterday, and Houston school district started yesterday as well as some of the surrounding areas yesterday or today. So
that's crazy. My buddy, he's got a couple kids, and the school district that they were in always started after Labor Day. Like they're, I don't know, 8-9 years old. So 8 years, they're used to starting after Labor Day. Well, they never got a schedule. They booked a vacation, and sure enough, they start before Labor Day. So,
oh no!
But well, they're young enough; yeah, it doesn't matter skipping a couple days at that age, you know. But yeah, it's crazy, man. It's thinking that college football is right around the corner, but you forget with college football means back to school.
The bigger thing in there is football.
Yeah, absolutely. Which, speaking of football, sir, and Lap Traffic Nation, be prepared. Next week, Aaron and I, we're going to break down the Michigan schedule. Why? Because we can, and we're Michigan guys. So that's
It's your show.
It's our segment, and that's what we're going to do. So
there we go.
Be prepared. You can fast forward through that next week, but we're going to talk the season a little bit. We're going to run down some games, and I've got some reservations about this season. So I'm excited to get your take, and hopefully we can talk ourselves into a positive outcome by the end of the segment next week.
I am not blindly optimistic. I'm not blindly optimistic. Yep. So it's going to be a matter of breaking down what Michigan has and Patterson's name to starter. So yes. Put aside.
Right.
But what are we going up against? Who else? And who else is going to be coaching one of those teams?
Might be
an interesting question.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, no, I'm excited about that. I'm looking forward to talking some football with you next week. I'm kind of, as ecstatic and as excited as I am to go to Darlington, I'd be lying if I'd say I wasn't a little bit bummed that I'm going to miss the Michigan-Notre Dame game because of that. But all things aside, I'm going to be at Darlington, which is going to be kick-ass. So,
very true. Yes, very much so. You will enjoy that.
Yes. All right, sir. How about some weather for this coming week? Cup guys got the week off, last off week before for the season, but Xfinity and Truck are running.
Yeah, Xfinity's up at picturesque Road America up in Wisconsin.
Yes.
Looking for on Friday, which are two practice sessions, a cloudy chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly the afternoon hours, high near 70, morning low in the low 60s. The good thing for them, bad thing for Canadian Tire Motorsports Park, which I'll get to in a moment. Good thing for Road America, though, it'll turn partly cloudy Saturday, high of almost 80.
Nice.
So sun comes out, things start to dry. We get some good racing at Road America.
Fantastic.
Saturday, we shift our focus east. Bowmanville, Ontario, a little bit northeast-ish of Toronto. Unfortunately, the system bringing the rain into Road America Friday will be bringing rain into Canadian Tire Motorsports Park on Saturday. That being said, it is a road race. They will race. So we'll have cloudy with a chance of afternoon showers on Saturday. High of 76, low of 66. That's in Fahrenheit for us Americans who are heading north of the border.
Yeah, we didn't last too long when that switched to the metric system, did we?
No, they tried to have us do that in elementary school, and I think it's just been continuous ever since.
Yeah. That's funny. Real quick before you go, what went down with Bristol this weekend? Fortunately for everybody, we got the racing in, but that was 4 weeks in a row now.
I'll tell you what. Good thing they started an hour early.
Yeah. Yeah.
If they didn't start that hour early, we would have been probably about halfway into stage three, and here comes the rain.
Yeah. No, that's awesome.
So it's good planning on NASCAR's part, and really good to see them proactive.
Yeah.
And we had a slight chance of showers. I mean, we were watching on radar and had some stuff moving in from the northwest, but definitely if they didn't move that up an hour earlier, it just would have ended under rain.
Yeah.
And Kyle Busch, despite his better efforts, might finish on the lead lap.
Right. Oh, you're going to like the show today, let me tell you.
Okay, I'll make sure to tune in.
All right, everyone. Make sure you check out Aaron on Twitter at RaceWeather. Check out the website, raceweather.net, and check out some football, Michigan football talk next week on the show. Aaron, thanks as always, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, I'll have an early go blue right here, and have a great week.
Thanks, man. We'll see you. All right. Always great to talk to Aaron. Now on to important business here before we get to the lucky dogs. Some silly season news, which can't go without a mention. It's been a little bit of an old news, so to speak, here in terms of when it came out and when last show was done last week. That said, Sadler out in the Xfinity series, which, you know, I guess maybe has been a long time coming. I know there's been some sponsor issues with that team and all of that. And hey, maybe he wants to go enjoy himself a little bit. Nothing wrong with that. He's had a very long career in Cup, in the Xfinity series. It's a bummer he wasn't able to get that championship with the Xfinity series coming close so many times. And hey, it's not over yet. It is possible Elliott Sadler could go out with a bang in his last season, 2018. Casey Kane out at LFR. Casey's kind of reminding me a little bit here of like Tony Stewart. He wants to go out and just run races. Doesn't want to have to worry about the politics, so to speak, and all of the nonsense that does come along with being in NASCAR. Kind of like Larson, he's made indications that, you know, NASCAR will not be his last stop. He will be back at short tracks. You know, so I think that's where his heart's at right now. And that's what he wants to go and do. It's a bummer. There's a lot of Casey Kane fans out there. I know PETM is bummed about that. Feel for you guys. But I get it in terms of that, you know, he wants to go do some other stuff. You know, not that money's everything to do with life, because I know it's not. But I'm sure he's definitely made a couple bucks along the way, and now he's able to comfortably go and enjoy the later parts of his career, which there's nothing wrong with that at all. Moving along, Truex may have to change teams due to sponsors, which is just crazy to think what the 78 team has become over the last couple years with Truex, Pern, and that whole organization as a whole. And that's just the downside of things when it comes to what it takes to put a team on the track each and every week, no matter how good the click is within the organization and the connection and the, you know, the family that you build, you need the almighty dollar to put you out on that track. And that would just be a bummer if that's the reason why things have to go their separate ways with Truex and the 78 team. And it sounds like it's all but done that Kurt Busch is moving over to the one there. You know, we haven't gotten confirmation from that by any means. But it doesn't sound like Kurt Busch will be returning to the 41, which leaves the door open to who could potentially go in there. I know there's a lot of rumors going out there. Not something that I like to stir the pot on, because it's not my place to do that, I don't feel. So we will keep track on that as it comes out and things become put in pen, if you will. All right, I got to go on one extra little rant here. I mentioned at the start of the show that I had some Kyle Busch ranting to do. I did a little bit earlier with Liam, but can't go without said about the fan altercation. So Kyle Busch ended his emotional on-track roller coaster weekend by being involved with a fan after the race on Saturday. And here's what I have to say about that. You know, I've said it before. I think NASCAR inflates slightly the ability for fans to get up close and personal with drivers. Most of the garage footage you see with the driver signing autographs are from people with hot passes. And there is no doubt about it. There are definitely drivers that will walk fence lines and things of that nature to meet fans, sign autographs, take pictures, which is fantastic and incredible. All that said, there are additional opportunities in terms of meet and greets at the track or at locations with sponsors and things of that nature to where you can meet the races. I do think that NASCAR does give a greater opportunity to possibly meet your favorite driver more so than fans of stick and ball sports in getting to meet players from those teams. I will also say the number of drivers that will just drive through the infield to surprise fans is incredible. You know, you see it on social media all the time. The fact that drivers will go out and surprise fans is awesome. Again, something we don't typically see with stick and ball sports guys doing that. That said, if altercations like that, which happened on Saturday, continue to occur more frequently, it is definitely possible that guys might be less willing to go and take risks of going into the field. It's a risk. There's no doubt about it. People get crazy. It's a crazy world. And that's a whole other side of things that I don't want to get into. But like I said, if altercations like that happen more frequently, the drivers and people within the team are going to be less likely and willing to put themselves out there. And NASCAR as well might tighten restrictions in terms of how up close you can get with drivers, which would just be horrible. So can we all just play nice? If you're fortunate enough to get up close with a driver, let's show a little respect here. Come on now. We're better than that. All right. It's enough of that nonsense. Over to everyone's favorite segment. It's time for some lucky dogs. Don't forget to tweet your picks or call the Wave Around hotline after the race. And send me your comments and your picks on all that good stuff. I'm going to get you my picks right off the bat here. My lucky dog of the race is going to Kyle Busch. Just, I can't ever remember a driver that has gone through so many ups and downs on track, off track, in a weekend like that. That was just crazy. He's getting my lucky dog. And lap down, let's see here. Got to be the fan that was the bad apple. Don't be a bad apple. Be better than that. All right. Mick at GoDucks42_Mix, a lucky dog. Larson didn't have the speed at race time, but was able to get a second place finish. Lap down, Menard, it was over before it started. And Mick actually changed his lap down to the MOATF's podcast, inability to agree on one set of picks for the Fantasy League. More on that to come here shortly. Roger at Rojo D, lucky dog, us the fans, duh. Lap down, Martin Truex, bad luck around Kyle. April at SWTPCH70's lucky dog, Harvick, coming back from two laps down to finish 10th. Lap down is the media miscue. No one thought to talk to J.J. Yaley after his wreck, and he was in the media center at the same time as Martin Truex Jr. Not cool. Captain Redneck at Redneck_Captain's lucky dog, Kurt, and Stewart House Racing fans, hell of a race. Lap down is Truex. Kenny at STL Cards Rule 4 Ev, lucky dog, has to be the fans. You know, it takes a lot for me not just to give it to Kyle Busch after his amazing run. Lap down goes to the DB who tried to assault Kyle Busch. We fans are lucky for the access we get. The PETM Racing Podcast at PETM Podcast, lucky dog, has to be Kyle Busch. He got three of them. Lap down is the 17 team. This was your shot and the ball you did drop. Hashtag Wave Around Hotline. NBTW at NASCAR BTW's lucky dog. The fans, not only did we stay rain free, but we had some awesome racing through this whole field. Lap down Keselowski. He clinched, but it couldn't have been uglier. Meanwhile, both Penske teammates spent time up front. Brett at BWayne8589's Lucky Dog. Kyle Busch for coming from that far back to contend for the win. Lap down is his liver. He destroyed it this weekend at Bristol. Congrats. Hope you had fun at the bachelor party at Bristol. What a cool place to go and have your bachelor party. Brandon at Brandon K. Carl's a Lucky Dog goes to Kurt Busch for getting the win at Bristol. Certainly doesn't seem like he is a lame duck this year at Stuart Haas. Lap down goes to the fan who confronted Kyle at the end of the race. Also, bonus Lucky Dog goes to Robert Wickens, who had that horrible crash this weekend at the Indy race at Pocono. He's got one hell of a road to recovery ahead. Get well soon, a Wiki Bobby. Absolutely, man. If you haven't seen the replay of that wreck from Indy, it is horrible and teeth-wrenching to watch. It is just brutal. Thank God he's all right, but definitely has a long road to recovery. Linda at RacingGal_FL. Lucky Dog goes to the 18 of Kyle Busch for all the trouble he had. Still comes back to be in contention for the win. Also for owning up to the incident with the 78. A lap down also to the 18 of Kyle Busch for getting busted on Twitter by Samantha the Fun Police. You know, I can actually totally relate to that. If you missed that, Samantha Busch tweeted about not being able to go to sleep because Kyle was on his phone and ignoring her. And I can't tell you the amount of times I have been on Twitter laying in bed while the wife's wanting to go to sleep and just ignoring with my headphones on and just chatting with you guys on Twitter. So I get that there. So yeah, the Fun Police, never fun. All right. Those are the tweeted responses. Let's get to your calls on the Wave Around Hotline.
Hey, Brandon, it's Jeff Legg, Grey Wolfpack 5 on Twitter and Instagram. Another fun-filled weekend of racing. It was good watching it on TV. Would love to be there. It was bummed that Harpick had to have some trouble, but he managed to pull out a top 10, so I guess that's why they get paid the big bucks, to get good finishes when they have big trouble. Lucky Dog, got to be Kurt Busch. Not particularly a Kurt Busch fan. But, he got himself in position, drove a smart race, and did what he had to do and got the win for Stuart Haas. So give credit where credit is due. Lap down is that jackass of a fan that attacked Kyle Busch after the race. Come on, people. You know, no matter whether you don't like a guy or you do like them, you can't get physical with them. NASCAR grants us some unprecedented access to our favorite stars and their equipment and their crews. And when jackasses like that are going to mess it up to where we're going to lose that. So show some restraint and, you know, let's just keep things under control. Kudos to Kyle for not unloading on the guy. I'm really surprised by that, but, he played it smart and just got the heck out of Dodge. That's really it for me. Looking forward to some throwback paint schemes this weekend and seeing some more good racing. See you next time.
Hey, Jeff, thanks so much for calling in. Couldn't agree with you more. Great win by Kurt. And, yeah, you know, it is, you know, let's let cooler heads prevail. I would not have been surprised, and I don't think anybody would have faulted Kyle Busch if he had knocked that guy out. But fortunately, being the professional that he is, knew that that would not have been well for him from a PR, any kind of standpoint. Kyle definitely is likes to instigate things to a degree in terms of on track with his comments just to create a buzz. And that's one of the things that I think took a while for me to get with Kyle Busch was that he's just out there having fun. He is determined. He knows he's good, but there's nothing wrong. And there's nothing wrong with knowing that you're good. And, you know, he's like the heel in WWE that eventually becomes the guy that everybody starts cheering for. So from that regard, it took me an extra minute, I think, to catch on to that. But that's just Kyle being Kyle, trying to get a good ribbon on people. And from that regard, I think, you know, it was fantastic of him that his cooler head prevailed and he didn't unload on him. But again, I don't think anybody would have doubted him. All right. Got one more call here on the Wave Around Hotline.
Hey, what's up, Brandon? It's Andrew. Just got done watching a pretty good ARCA race at DuQuoin. Congrats to Christian Eckes on that win. So if anyone gets a chance to check out this weekend's ARCA race, it was pretty good. IndyCar race hasn't gotten going after that horrible accident. Thankfully, Robert Wickens appears to be awake and alert. That's the last update I got. So thankfully, that's good news. On the NASCAR side, a really great race at Bristol, man. I can't remember the last time I've seen so many good races in a row. I mean, aside from, you know, maybe one or two races, we've seen some really good stuff the past couple weeks. So that's really good heading into the playoffs here. We only got two more races to go. Kyle Busch, as much as people don't like him, was the show on Saturday night. I can't remember the last time I've seen a car that banged up run that well. Kind of reminds me of junior years ago at Martinsville, having one of the best cars with no left front fender. So that was pretty interesting. Lucky dog's got to be Kurt Busch, man. He ran great, especially for a guy like him who has a ton of rumors going on about him, about who knows where he'll end up next year. So good for him. Just kind of shut those rumors up and just go out and get a win. So lucky dog is Kurt. A couple lap downs. First, I'm going to put NASCAR on Reddit a lap down. Those jagaloons thought that Kyle Busch Motorsports is going to the Cup Series. I don't know where they get this information from, but those guys love to just open their mouths and kind of say anything. They'd rather just make stuff up, just like how they still think Kevin Harvick is going to drive for Rick Hendrick one day, I'm sure. So lap down to them. Bristol restarts also have to go a lap down for me. I think it's kind of annoying how the we're fighting and stopping on pit road just to get on the outside lane. When I found out what the choose cone rule was, I've been an advocate of saying let's go to the choose cone rule so we don't have to deal with this nonsense of breaking on pit road. And we've seen guys get their cars torn up on pit road at Martinsville a couple times just for stopping just to get on the inside line at Martinsville, and this is Bristol. So let's hope that maybe we'll go to that choose cone rule starting next year. I've seen some guys, Denny Hamlin's been a big advocate for it, so hopefully we kind of go down that road next year. Anyway, happy almost Darlington race week, bud. I'll see you down there.
Andrew, thank you so much for calling in. You had a lot of good points there. First of all, I am with you on everything that you mentioned from the lucky dog perspective with Kurt Busch getting the win out there. Lap down, I am with you in terms of the choose cone rule there. I know the orange cone would be very happy with it too. But that said, you know, you as a race team are going to go out there on the track to put yourself in the best position possible. So if the best position possible is to start on the top line and not the inside line, well, then you're going to try to make that work on pit road to your advantage. So I get why the teams are doing it. So either we need to be able to create some more grooves, which seems to be a struggle. So that said, then, hey, if you want to start on the restart on the high line, well, then by all means, here's the choose cone rule. But instead of maybe starting fourth, you know, maybe you're going to be starting a few more spots back because you want to choose that different line there. So I'm in favor of it. You also may see guys and teams try different strategy. Maybe they're going to restart 10th if they keep their spot, but if they move up to the end, maybe they're starting third, and maybe they're able to fall back in line and get a top five, you know. So that could definitely add some excitement to the on-track racing with the choose cone rule. So I'm in favor of that. And hell yeah, man, I will see you down at Darlington in just a few, I'm going to say days. I know it's about a week and a half, but I'm going to say days because day sounds better. Everyone, thank you for tweeting your picks, calling the Wave Around Hotline. Make sure you're on the lookout for my tweets after the race. Send me your picks, call the Wave Around Hotline, leave me a message, I'll play it back. All right, I got to get this thing wrapped up. It's going a little long here, but I can't skip fantasy. Got to get to fantasy. Make sure you get your picks in by 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Friday. DraftKings was a huge thumbs down after a pretty decent week at Michigan. There are three more weeks left in segment two. No one had Kurt in the cup race, and no one was able to pick Larson in the Xfinity Series race. And we had 14 players pick Sauter in the truck race. Week high was Jay Rowden, who racked up 145 points with Larson, Bell, and Sauter. Second week high was 136 points by Chris Lowther with Harvick, Allgaier, and John Hunter Nemechek. A nice job there, guys. Over to the top 10 in standings. In first place still, and just adding to the lead, is Chad Robb with 1,337. John Entwistle is in second with 1,246. Matt Fossum's in third with 1,244. Jeff Legg is in fourth with 1,241. David James in fifth with 1,237. Chris Lowther in sixth with 1,223. Amanda Pugh and Tommy Witt are in seventh with 1,202. Timothy Triplett is in eighth with 1,193. Kathleen McDonald and Jeff Hess wrap out the top 10 with 1179. So Chad has blown away the rest of the field here in first with almost a 100-point lead, but second through fifth are just mere points from each other. So it should shape out to be a good battle here for segment two in the Lap Traffic Fantasy League. Over to the cumulative standings. John Entwistle is in first with 2599. Chloe Yunker back in second with 2549. Tommy Witt in third with 2548. Chad Robb in fourth with 2543. And David James wraps out the cumulative top five with 2446. That said, my picks for Bristol did absolutely horrific. Grant Enfinger was my best in the Truck Series with a 10th place. Daniel Hemric finished 24th in the Xfinity Series. And Keselowski finished 16th there. So not my best week there. And before I get to the picks for this week, I have to address the MOATF podcast. First off, if you haven't listened to their show this week, go check it out. Sherwin from PETM was on there. David, who has been known to go back and forth with me a little bit on Twitter, giving each other a hard time there, sends Mick Rose, who helps me with the Fantasy League. And it was funny today on the MOATF podcast because David goes, yeah, I check first thing, you know, right after the race, and Mick sits on his ass and doesn't get the standings updated. And I have to go and clear the air here. Mick Rose typically has the results to me within about a half an hour of the race ending because he updates it throughout the week. He's got it down to a science and he just does a fantastic job with that. So no, it's not Mick. It's me, who likes to wait till Monday morning so that people can go check it out Monday morning and I can keep things active and going. So that's strategery there, sir. So it is not Mick's fault, I assure you that. Now, over to your picks there, Mr. David, this week. So David sent picks and Andrew sent picks. And they didn't know they each sent picks in. So Mick put one set of picks in. So David, you know, freaks out a little bit because his picks weren't picked, which were the higher ones. And you know what? I told Mick, I go, Mick, you know what? Go ahead. Because I don't want to hear any collusion or anything like that from David thinking that, you know, I'm out to get him in the Lap Traffic Fantasy League and all this kind of stuff. And to be honest, it really doesn't matter because you're in 20th spot. So I'll give you a few extra points there. It ain't going to make a difference. Now, something else David said that I thought was funny on the show today was pertaining to Americans and our love for fantasy sports, including fantasy football, which I am in four fantasy leagues that are all drafting around Darlington. So let me tell you what's going to happen next week. I am going to be doing the show while doing a draft with my other computer sitting right next to me. So that could be interesting. You guys might get some fantasy picks from my football, one of the leagues that I'm in next week. When I fly into Atlanta to go meet up with PETM, I've got a draft that I'm going to be doing while getting to those guys. I've got a draft that is going on Saturday during Darlington. That obviously not going to be able to make anything happen. Got a buddy doing that one for me. And then I got a draft Monday when I fly home that starts at 9 o'clock. Hopefully I'm home in time to be able to do that. So yes, diehard fantasy football over here. So that's my little rant on the MOATF podcast. That said, it is time for my picks. No cup race this weekend, so I will highlight the other two races with the lead into the picks. Xfinity Series heads into Road America. Bill Elliott will be making his return to the driver's seat. Could you imagine if the unthinkable happens and the siren rings in Dawsonville? I'm not getting my hopes up on it, but that'd be one hell of a story. Also making his return, Matt D's PR rep, Ryan Ellis, will be strapping in for this one. Jeremy Clements won this race last year to play spoiler and make his way into the Xfinity playoffs. He's coming off a top 15 at Bristol. Could he do it 2 years in a row? Justin Allgaier off his road course win at Road America. Could he get back-to-back road course wins? Truck Series heads to Canadian Motorsports Park. Austin Cindric got the win last year. John Hunter the year before. Justin Haley picked up a fourth-place finish last year, and our winner from Bristol, Johnny Sauter, finished sixth. Who shines this weekend with the Cup guys off? We will find out this weekend. But first, it's time for my picks. Over to the Truck Series. I'm going with Noah Gregson to get it done this weekend for the Trucks. And over to the Xfinity Series. I'm riding him out. I've been using him a lot. Cole Custer's eventually going to get a win. And the Cup guys are on vacation. Well, the Cup drivers are anyways. All right. Lap Traffic Nation, that is going to do it for episode number 87 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Don't forget about the giveaway contest. 3,500 followers giving away the diecast. I can't wait. I'm going to Darlington. So excited. Can't wait to get out there. Hang out with PETM and Cancian. Enjoy the off weekend. Big thanks to Liam for Go Fast Racing for coming on the show tonight. Next week, from NASCAR Talk NBC, writer Daniel McFadden will be on. Can't wait to talk to him. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. I'm out of here. See ya.